Hello and welcome to episode 37 of Nintendo Podcast System. I am Jack Gorn, and joining me today we have the lovely Matthew.
Hello.
And the lovely Sam.
Hello.
And the three of us. Woo!
It's a classic episode.
We're finally here, and about time too.
Been a while. Because of that Christmas thing.
Did neither of you get that reference?
No.
What?
You're finally here, and about time too.
Yeah, no, it's wasted on us.
I just saw.
He's the first member of the DK crew.
Oh, he's doing the DK
God
rap.
For God's sake. God.
Like I said, it's wasted on us.
We're starting off 2017 real strong, aren't we?
Yeah, really badly.
Yeah, so this is the first episode of 2017. Quite exciting.
Ooh. And what have we got in store for our lovely people?
A podcast, so. Nah, but
I thought we could build up some hype, but no.
I don't know why I'm feeling like a bit on edge. I don't know why.
Someone's a salty but... Samuel, aren't you?
But you're Samuel.
Yeah, exactly. So if anybody's going to be salty Samuel, it'll be you, salty Samuel. Regardless,
We're all excited and hyped this week, aren't we?
Yes, it's the, by the time, hopefully I could get this out just before, because my mocks are finished, so I should have time, but this is Switchmas Eve, so come tomorrow.
Switchmas Eve, so, yes!
God.
That is the best thing you've ever announced.
Cheers, Jack, even though it's been, like, said a lot of times on Twitter already.
Well, I've not seen that, so,
Yeah, so, like, if this is, in fact, coming up on Thursday the 12th, then probably give it a good 12 hours after this episode has gone up, we will know everything to do about the Switch. Not everything, of course, but everything we need to know in preparation for the launch. So, we're going to have I'd say a pretty big discussion about that.
If anyone doesn't know, there's a big presentation going on Friday, the 13th.
Friday the 13th over here in Europe.
Which surely means bad luck. But
4 o'clock in the morning.
Should, yeah.
No, thank you.
No,
4 o'clock in the morning. I know. It's like, oh.
I will watch it in my own time.
I don't have school that day, so I'm just like watching it live. I have to.
I've got work.
Yeah, that's the hard thing. I won't spoil it for you, I swear. But if there's...
It's a big presentation on the Switch, and hopefully we'll find out a bit more about it and about the games coming to it.
So, yes, we're just going to have a... hopefully good discussion about that later on. It's our first actual discussion section in a good while, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but as a result, we are not going to have the news because, quite frankly, there's not really been a lot in my eyes that has really caught my attention.
Yeah, not really. It's been a bit of a quiet couple of months, really, in terms of news. But
it's all like building up and just like a lot of rumours, which we'll be covering. I always mean to, like, as soon as we, like, get the next episode out on air, I always mean to, like, start the next Google Doc, just get all the stuff ready for the next time, but I never get it. I never get it done. But so we're gonna miss out on the news, but we are gonna be getting into what we've been playing, which we'll be getting into shortly. But first
before
of all,
we do,
Sam, you are deciding our music this time around. So
yay!
What will you like your intro and? Well, just intro for now to be.
Yep, the intro that you've obviously just heard is the Bob-omb Battlefield from Super Mario 64.
Mm-hmm.
Good choice.
Yes, nice and upbeat for the start of the year.
Yeah, I really do like the upbeat nature of it. It is really good.
That we could do with something fun.
So yeah, so with that introduction out of the way, let's head on to the next section.
Here we go.
And here we are in what I've been playing. Jack, you haven't been on here in forever, so how about you start us off?
Yeah, God, Jack, forever.
Forever. I've not been on forever. I've been playing games, such as Pokemon Sun, because, yeah. I've actually completed Pokemon Sun.
Nice.
Now. Oh, well done.
I've not... I'm just getting into, like, getting the Ultra Beasts and stuff. So that's as far as I've got. I've completed the actual, like, as in finished the Elite Four and all that jazz. So,
All the jazz.
yeah, because I was comparing our play times with with Kat, my girlfriend, and she has basically not stopped playing Pokemon Moon ever since I got it for her. I think she's on like 90 hours extra than I've been playing. I was like, okay. Which is a little bit crazy. But yeah, Pokemon Sun. I've actually really enjoyed it. It's been a really good game.
Oh, good.
Okay. I only just arrived at the third island.
Okay. Is that Pony Island?
Ula Island. Pony Island is the fourth, I believe.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm just really enjoying it. I don't want to say too much because this will go on forever. And we talked about it. A little cheeky plug here, but I talked about it at length in my Nintendo Game of the Year 2016 discussion, which I had with Sam and Lewis Pugh from Nintendo Voice. So if you want,
yes, it was a good discussion.
Yeah, so if you want, you could check that out on my YouTube channel, which is Ace Gibbo. But unfortunately, Jack couldn't make it that time. But Jack,
no, I couldn't make it. No.
But Jack...
I would probably put it higher than the list, to be fair. Because it's been one of, like, not many games I could really choose from, to be honest. It was a bit of a weird year from, like, what games I've been playing anyway. But I did a live Facebook video for for the podcast page. And I sort of went through, like, the top 10 games I've played over the year kind of thing. Including some Nintendo ones as well. But, I think the top three. I can't remember what the top three was now. I put in Paper Mario Color Splash. I've been really enjoying that game. I just think.
I think that was one of my top three.
Yeah, like design wise, it was definitely just incredible. And I'm still enjoying playing it now. It's just like I keep going back to it every now and then and sort of. Trying to remember what I was doing and going back through it, but
I think it's the humor and charm that really sort of
gives
it that extra bit to it.
I think that's what's made me go back to it every now and then because it's just so funny to play. And it's and there's lots of unexpected things happening in it. Like just, as I said before, we started the podcast here. I was just playing through it and I ended up fighting Petty Piranha of all things. I was like, I weren't really expecting him to turn up, so or her, or whatever we call it. But yeah, I'll definitely put that up there, and I think I put Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Go as my other two that was up there. But yeah, I think Pokemon Sun definitely deserves its place up in one of the top sort of three games of the year, and it's definitely given that sort of difference with the actual trials rather than going through gyms. It's certainly different. I was a bit curious actually because one of the totem Pokemon you fight.
Is it all right if you don't spoil? Sorry.
I'll try my best not to.
What number do
I won't explain which one then because I can do it without explaining it. Basically, one of the totem Pokemon I fought, he called for a friend, and it called out something I wasn't expecting.
Okay.
Because a lot of the totem Pokemon, they just call out like their pre-evolutions or some like minor Pokemon, and one of them called out a Scizor of all things. I was like, why is there a Scizor there? It was just like. I didn't even know you could even see it in without, like, you know, trading it over, but apparently you can. So it's like,
Interesting.
So, but I couldn't catch it because it was in a totem fight anyway.
Well, it's in a trial area. You can't catch anything there. Yeah.
Can't catch anything in those areas.
Hold on. Can I just make breaking news? I know we said no news, but I've just been catching up on my Twitter because I had a shower and I like catching up with Twitter. But of course, I'm still listening. But
you did Twitter in the shower?
No, I'm catching up on my Twitter because I had a shower.
The wonders of technology.
The first one of the year.
All right, guys. Do you want to know that Shovel Knight Spectre Tournament is coming to four Nintendo Switch, or do you not want to know?
Yes, tell us.
Alright, so this comes from Yacht Club Games on Twitter. Switch up, happy new year, Lime Lords. This year we have big plans for Shovel Knight. There's a lot of news, so let's dig in. Announcement time. Shovel Knight Treasure Trove and Shovel Knight Spectre Tournament will be released for Nintendo Switch. Wow,
yay.
Switch, awesome. Spectre Tournament, but wait, that's Shovel Knight Treasure Trove. We don't have time to explain quite yet. We have even more announcements. So I'm going to dig into this like a bit later, probably before the next section, maybe? Just to get a better thing on things. But let's save it for the Switch. Let's save that for the Switch. I'll manage to get a better read. But it's on...
We'll do it in a minute. That's cool. Oh, that's cool. Yay! New stuff, new announcements. Yay!
Yay!
Anyway, Jack, proceed.
Yeah, what was I saying?
About Pokemon.
Oh yeah, Totem Pokemon.
That's it. It's
weird that other Pokemon actually appear, and when they call for, because it's this whole calling for a friend is a good way of chaining the Pokemon.
I have found that to be quite useful at times.
Yeah. But there's a higher chance of getting Pokemon with good abilities and stats.
Okay.
In terms of IV Pokemon and things like that.
Especially if it's a rare Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Depending what you're fighting and things like that.
Mm.
But there's also a good chance of getting shinies from chaining.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah, I guess it makes sense.
I've heard that to do this, to get the high ability ones, you need to kill like something like 30 plus Pokemon. Ones that get called in. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Then I heard about the shinies. It's like 85 plus.
Oh, God.
It's like, what?
Oh, well, if you've got the patience for that.
Yeah.
Maybe if you do, but flip a neck. That is just,
I know, it's like, at times like it, because again, as you just said, it can work to your advantage. Like, at times, I was searching for Slandit, and I managed to find one, but I was male. But by holding out...
It's the male ones don't evolve, do they?
Yeah, so after holding out, I managed to get a female one. In the same way, but some ways, it can work out really tough, because, like, in one example, I was trying to... very recently, in fact, I was trying to catch a Parsimian. Which I did manage to catch in the end, but I managed to get it down like onto the red part, on the red bar, right? But on every turn, it didn't let up on calling for another Pokemon, which was Trumbeak.
Okay.
So I had to just like take out the Trumbeak each and every turn. But as soon as I like took out the Trumbeak, the Parsimian would call out for another Pokemon.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't work every turn, but
But it's weird because, like,
normally higher, so.
It's just annoying because, like, especially with like Parsimian, and this was the case with Magby, it works almost every turn. I stuck with having to deal with like I'd say at least five Trumbeaks. You know, when I could just decide to get a higher catch rate of a Pokeball, and just end it right there with the Parsimian. But no, I just have to deal with all these other Trumbeaks. It would be better if, like, they just said you could still catch Pokemon in double battles.
Yeah,
but
it would be
that'll be okay. I'll be fine with that. But I don't know. It's a very weird thing.
Do you think it's weird that they've basically got rid of double battles and had it as a 2-on-1 kind of thing now? Is it a bit strange?
No, I think they've done that kind of thing before. I'd say.
Not often in other games. It's normally either like you'll have a double barrel, or you'd have like a one on five in X and Y.
Oh yeah, I didn't like the horde barrels, but this is the first time. This is the first time I believe with the helping mechanic where you get two wild Pokemon.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a new feature. The help Pokemon is a new feature, but
I do like it. I think it's a good idea. And
it's a mix. It's like, on the one hand it's great, but on the other hand it's not. You know,
it keeps the battles interesting, I think, because anything can come back in, and you'd have to rethink your tactics, kind of thing.
I guess so.
But at the same time, I can understand what you're saying. It's like it can get really annoying because you have to kill that Pokemon off every time, and it keeps respawning, kind of thing. But yeah, it's a good little technique, and I've really enjoyed that sort of aspect of it. Have you? Out of curiosity, have either of you two been using the QR codes?
Yep, I have. It's
Matt,
quite handy.
Used it?
Is it for Magiana?
Well, basically, there's a QR code scanner in the game.
Yeah.
And you can scan any Pokemon from the Pokedex.
Oh.
Using QR codes.
But you don't get that Pokemon, do you?
It gets added to the Pokédex, but as a seen Pokémon, but not as a like.
Oh, so you don't get its like description or anything.
No, that's it.
Yeah.
It adds it to the Pokédex, but if you collect 10 of them, it gives you a special tool where you can search for any Pokémon.
A random Pokémon. Yeah.
Well, you say randomly selected, but I'll explain that in a second. But you press this, and basically it shows you a spot on the island where this hidden Pokemon is found. Like, for instance, I found an Axew was shadowed on one of the areas, one of the mountainous areas just before. And you go over there, and they're all quite tough, these ones. They're better stats Pokemon, and they've all got high IVs if you catch them. But it's quite a good little technique, because the whole thing around it is it's based on what time you press that button to do the search.
Oh, okay.
And you can catch really rare, strange Pokemon from doing it. There's like things like Togekiss, Axews, and all of the starters from Silver and Gold. So like Totodile, Cyndaquil, and whatever the other one's called, Chikorita. Mm. All three of them you can actually go and catch. So it's like, wow, that's pretty cool. Just from using the QR code scanner. So there you go. There's my hot tip. Go and catch them all. So, but they're all it's all based on time of day and time of like you actually set on the clock on in the game. So, for instance, on the Saturday was the Axew, which I caught. But on a different day, you'll catch something else. So if you just build up like 10 QR scans, and then save it until you get to the specific time, or change the time on your DS, you can go and catch whatever Pokemon you want. So,
okay.
I found a YouTube video that has all the QR codes, which is quite handy, actually.
Yeah, it's handy. And you can also, what I found is you can scan shinies as well. So they count as an extra one on top. I don't know if you can, because there are Pokemon like with female iterations and things like that. I don't know if you can scan them and get different.
You can.
Cool. So if you can scan the whole Pokedex, that's like, what, 700 something Pokemon now? If you got all the shinies as well, that's 1,400 QR codes you can scan at least. So have fun with that, everyone, and scan all those QR codes and get those extra Pokemon. Might as well do it. So it's pretty cool. But yeah, other than Pokemon Sun and I've played, like I said, a bit of Colour Splash. I bought Mario Run for my phone.
All right, yeah.
Because you keep going ahead of me every time, Matt, and I couldn't keep it. I was alright for the first few days, and then I was like, I've finished everything on it now. I just don't know what else to do. I unlocked all the characters, and now I'm like, well, that's it, really, isn't it? So
yeah.
There's not a lot more to it, to be honest, after that. It's quite fun trying to like compete with your friends and get a higher scoring toads and things. Do you get anything extra for like collecting all the like purple coins and things in the main game?
You get an extra level and the black coin level, which I just managed to do yesterday, is really challenging, I have to say.
Oh, is it? Interesting.
It is quite challenging, I'd have to say.
But yeah, like, it's like unique to the fact you can play with just one hand, and you can do that most mobile games, though, to be fair. But it's like it's still an interesting idea that they've put out there, and I think it probably sold well in the first few weeks, and don't think there'll be much more in terms of sales for it, to be honest. But I don't know if they're going to do anything extra to it, but I think it's pretty much gone now, isn't it? You play it the first week and it's it. But there is another mobile game which I've been playing lots of, which is, of course, Pokemon Go.
Yay!
Which is another one I put in my top three. So...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I ended up putting Pokemon Go as one of the top three games of last year. And that's mainly because I can't stop playing it. I'm totally obsessed.
I've not played it for quite a while. It's too cold to be outside playing it.
Because I cycle to work every day, I literally just plonk it on and just cycle there and back, and I've normally hatched an egg in that time.
I always use it when I'm walking somewhere.
Yeah.
But I don't do it, like, intentionally. Like, I'm going to go out and play Pokemon Go. I just don't do that anymore.
Yeah. But there's been lots of, like, events that have happened in the last couple of weeks. Month, really. We had the baby Pokemon from Silver and Gold, which have been added to the game.
Which is a very smart move, if I might say, on Niantic's part.
It was brilliant, yeah. Mm. And they gave us extra incubators to help us try and hatch these Pokemon every day. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Jack, to be honest, I was just being sarcastic. Introducing them as eggs is just, like, a shite idea.
Why?
Because, like... You have, like, a lot of fans begging for Gen 2, and you come out, okay, we're going to release them, like, trickle by trickle. It's like, okay, I guess that's fair, but you can only hatch them by eggs.
It links it to the game, because that's the only way you could get them in Silver and Gold, is by hatching them.
Really?
Yeah. So, that's why the baby Pokemon, I think, works perfectly for. But they did. They did completely miss out on Tyrogue for some reason. He was Hitmonlee and Chan's like baby version, and Top, I guess, as well.
But why? It just annoys me.
Because it's a walking app with Pokemon attached to it.
Yeah, but like, I want to catch Pokemon. I don't want to like be forced to hatch it.
Want to walk anywhere, is basically what you're saying.
Well, no! So it's like, okay, right, you've got a 5k egg, that's where they hatch from, right?
Yep.
But now it's just a lot, you don't want to have to be forced to walk. Surely you won't have to be forced to walk, like, hundreds of kilometres just for a chance of getting one baby Pokemon from Gen 2.
Yeah, of course you do. You can go to all those gyms and fight them all, and go for a nice long walk, and go and see if you catch any other Pokemon on the go, you know?
No.
Have you actually hatched any of the baby Pokemon?
No.
Have you got any of them?
No.
Sam, have you got any of them?
No.
Oh, you poor guys.
I haven't tried, because I haven't been playing yet.
I have an Igglybuff, have a Magby, and I have an Elekid.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
that's not that bad.
Pretty cool. Mm. Yeah, and Magby and Elekid come one after the other, so I was quite happy with that. So, but I think I've really enjoyed the fact that they've basically added them all in there, and it's made me go out a bit more over Christmas and walking a bit further and that. And then they decided to up the appearance rate of all the starters as well, so like Squirtle, Charmander, and Bulbasaur as well. They literally just were everywhere for a good, well, at least a good like couple of weeks or so. It's like we were catching Bulbasaur everywhere. It's really weird.
Mm. I really did like that New Year's thing. That was quite helpful.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the more Pokemon coming. I've been trying to hoard on all the other sort of Pokemon with evolutions in Gen 2. So, for instance, like Zubats and Crobats and things like that. The one that I think is going to be the toughest to get would be Porygon 2, because Porygons I'd rarely see anywhere.
Oh,
So, I don't know
yeah.
if it was your area, Matt, or if you catch many things like that. But I think it's going to be tough to get that one. So. I'd like to see it. And that's the challenge. The first person to get Porygon 2 when it comes out, I think you win. So I don't know what you win, but you win something. So. Right, I've been talking for too long. Someone else take over. What have you been playing? Someone.
Sam, do you want to go next?
I've just been playing the usual. I've been playing blah, blah, blah. I've been playing Pokemon Moon, just trying to sort of get other Pokemon I want, to be honest. But oh, the joys of having to raise the happiness level of certain ones and then
Yeah.
evolving it at certain times. It's just like, oh God. Just been like keeping my town going in Animal Crossing New Leaf. And one of my villagers tried to leave, and I was like, no! It's one of the ones I didn't summon with an amiibo, so I can't like call them back again. And I'm like, no,
Oh
don't go.
no.
No, I managed to stop them, thank God.
Oh, that's all right.
But yeah, that was lucky. And now I've been playing a lot of Shantae, Half Genie Hero. I finished the game, and now I'm doing the hero version, which is. It's already. Gives a different spin because you have most of the transformations, which sort of really opens up areas quite quickly. So I'm quite enjoying that. It's a good lot of fun, really. And I just can't stop listening to music. The music in the game is so good. It's just like well worth playing again anyway because it's just catchy and fun. And
It's Jake Kaufman doing it, isn't it?
yeah, it
I
is.
believe he worked on Shovel Knight as well, didn't he?
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, oh, yeah, this is
That
such good
that
music.
guy is great, but with soundtracks, I always wait until I play the game itself. But I've heard very good things about Half Genie Heroes soundtrack, much like Pirate's Curse. So I
Yeah,
really can't
it's
wait.
literally from start to finish, music-wise, it's really, really strong. It sets the tone and the atmosphere.
It just
Like,
looks stunning from what I saw the first like couple levels I was watching.
they've really upped their game in terms of visual. Like, this HD version is brilliant. It's just got, it's so much, like, visually, it's just like a, how could I describe it? It's just like a whole platter of different things going on. It's brilliant. I can't describe it really. It's just a, overall, it's a brilliant game. And like, depending on how you play it and stuff, it could keep it going for quite a while.
Compared to the previous Shantae games, what's new in this one?
Mainly more, I think there's a couple of new transformations. The story itself is obviously different with returning characters. Oh, trying to think what else. There's like a couple of new magics, I think, as well.
So still extra things to find and
It's still extra things, yeah. But they've tried to keep it simple. But they've also, like, with some of the transformations, you can earn extra abilities for it as well for finding, like, relics. So it keeps the transformations fresh while still having the same familiar
yeah.
transformation, which is really good. It is a brilliant. Brilliant game. That's why it's my one of my top games of the year for last year.
I own the one that you played in your Let's Play channel,
Pirate's Curse, I
Pirate's
believe, yeah.
Curse, because I got that in the Indie Humble Bundle when it was for Wii U a while back now,
Yeah.
and I think I've played like not very much of it, but I did really enjoy it. Just hadn't had the time to sort of go back to it, but I saw Half Genie Hero. I saw like a few Let's Plays of it, and I just thought that looks so good. I think I've got to give it a go. It's just
It's
it. I honestly thought it was on like one of the most like, stunning looking upgrades to the previous game I've ever seen. It was just like
highly recommended by me, definitely worth every penny. So
cool.
yeah, I'd definitely recommend it to anybody, even if you're new to it, it's such a good game.
I mean, I think the Shantae series all together has been really, really good, and the sort of the newer remakes they brought back into, like, you on the Wii U and stuff
Risky's
like that.
The Risky's Revenge Director Cut, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
as well, yeah.
Available, yeah.
Mm.
The only one that hasn't been ever remade is the original Shantae, which was Game Boy Color.
Mm. That's weird to think about, in my opinion.
It would be interesting if they did a remake of that, but... You know, it's up to Way Forward in that.
Was there a Shantae game on the Dreamcast? I know this is like...
No.
No,
I don't think so.
That hasn't been.
You may be thinking of Knights? They seem... I'm not sure. No, probably not. It's weird to see like how Shantae's design changes between each game.
Yeah.
Like, if you just look at the box art, like, a Game Boy... The original Game Boy Color, that looks... Well, it's Game Boy Color, so I don't really blame the box art. But, and then you come up to the second one.
Mm.
I'm not sure how to describe it, but when you move on to Pirate's Curse, it's just, like, much more refined, much more, like, expressive, I feel like.
Mm. Yeah.
And then in this one, it's more like... I wouldn't say downgraded. It's more like... It seems more cutesy. Shantae seems more chibi down in Pirate's Curse.
They focus a lot on like the character design and things like that, and it does really well from it. I think they develop it from there onwards, and it's always been very sort of cartoony and a bit of fun and that. But it's quite a good all round sort of platformer sort of game with what's the best way to sort of describe it? It's really weird, but it's got a bit of mystery to it as well, and like. You've got to actually go and find things
the whole puzzle solving side of it is brilliant. Because you've got to go find an item to advance, and it's like you can only ascertain that through talking to some of the villagers or like getting clues and hints off of other people. It's
that always
brilliant.
Annoyed me in some games. Like you've got to find the one specific villager, you got the one
they're not vague about it though, that's the thing. They're like, oh, like, but they put it into a story almost, like,
yeah.
There's one where you got to find this iron slab, and it's like, oh, like, one guy goes, oh, there was like a legend of a thing, and it's been made into a movie, but it's actually a real, and you can go find it at this place, but it's somewhere in that area, and it's like, you can kind of get the gist of whereabouts that is, so it's not like it's completely, no one's going to be able to find that, which is what makes the game just, like I say, all that more playable.
Mm. I just remember from the previous one, like watching your series on it, that's where you got stuck in a fountain sort of area.
Oh yeah.
You just didn't know what to do until you had to. It's like little things like that which annoy me, but it's just it's something that you'll easily work out eventually. It's just like.
There are points I had to figure it out off screen, but
yeah.
I've figured it out.
Yeah. Will you be doing a Let's Play of this game? Or...
I most probably will.
Nice. Good. While we're just talking about sequels, there is one other sequel I needed to mention, which I totally forgot about.
Okay.
Freedom Planet 2!
Oh, God.
They released a demo for it.
Wow.
There's a demo?
Play it. There's a demo for the PC.
Oh.
And you can download and play it. Very soon. I'm like,
is that off Steam?
On Steam, yeah.
I thought it might be.
Yeah. Which, you know, from what I've seen of it, they've changed quite a few things, and the characters look a little bit weirder, but...
Oh, they do.
It still plays relatively well, and the boss battles are still amazing. So, yay! Something to look forward to in 2017. As well as other games like Yooka-Laylee, which isn't coming to Wii U anymore.
Yeah, it's coming on to the Switch, isn't it?
It's coming on to the Switch, apparently. So, which is good.
For people who kickstarted it, I feel really sorry for them because, like, they were promised
Wii U
a game
version.
For the Wii U. Mm.
Yeah,
but I believe they could still transfer it over to the Switch.
Well, they could take any version. I think they get the PC version as well, anyway. A lot of them, depending on how much they spent on the Kickstarter, but. Yeah, it's a little bit annoying, but hopefully they'll be fine to switch to the Switch, shall we say. So, yeah, is there anything else we're looking forward to this year before we move on to
Indie-wise, or...?
In general, it's one that's meant to indie, indie or...
Well, if I may go non-Tendo...
Yeah, yeah.
Danganronpa, Thief 3, Killing Harmony, I cannot wait for that game. I'm just saying it. Okay. No, because it's just being released in Japan. It's just, oh my god, I just cannot wait. It was my number one game for Nintendo Switch third-party games, but I doubt it will happen. But it just looks fantastic in all regards. I was just going to say that I'm probably going to do like a video on it, just like an Ace Talk.
Cool.
Where it's just me expressing my thoughts on Danganronpa V3. If you want to check that out, if that does become a thing. Anyway, Jack, as you were saying?
Well, so there's, of course, there's a couple of Sonic games coming out this year.
Mania in 2017.
Yeah, I'll definitely be picking those up. Other than that, and the ukulele, I don't think there's really much else on the radar. I'm waiting to see about Rocket League. I'd like to see Rocket League come to the Switch.
I would love Rocket League come to the Switch.
I think it would be the perfect game for the Switch.
That'd be quite
interesting to see how they do that, but yeah.
I mean, it's on practically every other console now, so let's see what they do.
That's why I'm holding out on like Shantae a bit, to be honest. Well, one, because I have no money, but two is because I would like to play Shantae on a Nintendo console, because I have no more data left on my Wii U, so no more space. As well, I've been playing Pokemon Sun. We were just talking about that with Jack, as well as Super Mario Run. So I've fully completed the game, not Toad Rally or the Kingdom thing, but just like the main game. I got all the coins and completed all the secret levels, all of which with the secret coins as well. So I think it's fair to say, like, this is like definitely like a solid 8. If I was to do it out of 10, this is an 8. It's a solid 8.
It's not a bad game. It's
not a bad game.
It is challenging.
It can be challenging, especially with Toad Rally. That can get quite competitive. It does require you to know what exactly you're doing, aside from just jumping, because it may seem that at first, but like if you get into Toad Rally, then it's just like, oh, this is like a completely different piece to World Tour. I don't think it's overpriced. It is kind of pricey, but seeing how much time I actually put into it, I don't think it was that bad of a spend at all.
I think even for like a 5 minutes game here and there, for £6-7 quid or whatever it was, it wasn't too bad really, to be honest.
Wasn't too bad, no.
You'd pay a lot more for a normal Mario game, wouldn't you? So,
but I think that's the challenge thing is, because like this is like a mobile game, and like everybody expects mobile games to be free now, don't they? Really?
Or 99p maximum kind of thing.
Yeah. So I am glad that like you just pay the 8 quid, and they don't bother like trying to charge you anything else. It's like that's it. That's the full game. But that's what like Nintendo are creating, but that's not what the general public are seeing. They're just seeing it still as an app, I feel like.
Yeah, have you seen the reviews for Super Mario Run as well?
They never fail to make me laugh, and appreciate that I am actually... that I actually have a brain. Sorry. No, it's...
Do you think that... Because of Miitomo, that has influenced people's decisions and opinions of Nintendo's games and things that they release on phones?
I'm not sure. I think Super Mario Run is now the big one, because I think Miitomo, even though that was like a success, I don't think that really gained that much traction outside of it.
Miitomo was literally only the Nintendo players, or the most... ones that really focus on Nintendo games, I think.
Yeah.
Whereas Mario Run hit everyone.
That's been the fastest app ever to hit 50 million, even being Pokemon Go. But
so 50, did you say 50 million?
But that's not paying. Even though it's now hit 90 million downloads, only 3 million have actually paid the full thing.
Really? That low?
Yeah, it's because I feel like... I think at times I was like this before. I was like, Nintendo, what are you doing charging 8 quid for a game? But I think since then, my mind has changed.
If they made nearly 20 million games, pounds, yeah. though. They made nearly 20 million pounds for a mobile game.
It's like... But like, the thing is, like, I think people may feel like a bit betrayed. I don't know why, because like, I've seen this going a lot on like other shows, like Nintendo Voice. But as people that have been keeping up with this, we knew since it was first announced back at the Apple event, I believe in September, we knew that it was going to be, you get the first three levels, the first world, you get that all for free, you download the app, that's what you get for free, and then you have to pay to unlock the rest of the game, and that's something that we've seen before Nintendo games, sort of like Pokemon Shuffle, Pokemon Picross especially, and other games like that where they use that. I believe Iwata brought it in as free to start, and I don't think that's a bad idea, because essentially you're just getting a demo, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I believe people are just like throwing like a hissy fit just because it isn't free, because like all the other mobile games are free, and it's like, well, they rely more on like microtransactions and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, you don't think there's no ads or anything in this game either. There's
ads. Like, even in the demo version, there are no ads. You know.
Yeah.
Thing is, you can't always make something for nothing. I mean, at the end of the day, Nintendo is a business.
Because, like, that's the thing. Like, with Miitomo, even though that received 15 million downloads, it made no profit, I believe. There were microtransactions in there, but, like, it was well hidden, which I think is more of a plus, because it wasn't, like, so in your face, but it just caused no profit whatsoever. But now, because of this overly and, quite frankly, unnecessary negative reception Super Mario Run has, I hope that doesn't bode that it... doesn't mean Fire Emblem and Animal Crossing games aren't going to do well. Because it's like, they were already like less popular. Like, I think Fire Emblem is on the rise slightly with Fire Emblem Fates. Just now the best selling franchise. As much as you hate to admit it, Jack, I think it is slowly becoming one of Nintendo's stronger IPs. I've seen that going on as well. But Animal Crossing is, quite frankly, a big one, especially targeting the casual audience as well. New Leaf is one of the best-selling games on the 3DS, so I think bringing Animal Crossing to mobile will make a good amount of sense, but hopefully this doesn't mean, like, bad... This doesn't give bad view of Nintendo, because they're just trying to make games, and people are like, no, you make a game, I want it for free. And it's like, what?
Oh well.
But this is a great game. Lesser aren't over. The other game I've been playing.
Did you see the cheap knockoff version that was?
Oh, Super Mario Run.
I think
Nintendo should have tried to make that more clear, and that like, oh, when it first launched, it's like, oh, don't worry if you don't have an iPhone, if you have an Android or other phone device, that'll be coming at a later date, because they have opened like pre-registration for it. For Android users, but it's like, don't say that right at the start, otherwise people may get pissed off that's iPhone exclusive, when quite frankly it's only for timed exclusive.
Because Apple put it out as a timed exclusive when they released the notes on it, didn't they? So cool.
I thought it was funny
the Marlo.
Yeah, go on.
Well, it was basically a cheap knockoff copy that someone put on the Android shop, and it seemed to get quite a lot of downloads quite quickly, but it was really bad.
Well, of course it is.
So don't download that one. Play the proper release.
Well, of course, proper releases are always better. But the other game I've been playing is Picross 3D Round 2. In the past year, I'd say I become more fond of Picross. I started with Pokemon Picross. I got the Zelda Twilight Princess Picross. But round two, it's just... It follows the same fundamentals of Picross, but it's just so much more different. It's hard to describe. It's similar, yet so much more different.
How is it different? How can you explain?
So, obviously, 3D. It's in 3D. That's the big part. But,
yeah.
I believe in, like, round two, because there was one on the ES, with round two, they now bring in orange numbers, and these are used to make more complex shapes, which will get rounded off, or, like, cut in half, or whatever, just to make different shapes.
Okay.
So it adds, like, an extra element to puzzle solving, I think, because now you, not only do you have the blue blocks to handle, but now you also have orange blocks. But it teaches you the mechanics really well, and I think it is kind of necessary even if you're like a Picross fit, because in normal Picross you get per row, you get or column, you get the set number of numbers, don't you? And there's supposed to be at least one gap in between them, but with Picross 3D, well, now there's like in all axes, there's one for the X axis, one for the Y axis, and now one for the Z axis too. So you have to take into account all of them. But if it only has like one number, that means, there's only one.
This does sound really hard to explain, doesn't it?
I'm not great at explaining anything, so. So there's one.
If I played the other, like the Pokemon Picross and stuff, is it easy to pick up this 3D version?
The tutorials do a pretty good job of like explaining it to you.
Yeah.
So like if it has only one number on the column, be it blue or orange, or sometimes you get both, that means all of that same colour are connected.
Okay.
If the number has a circle around it, that means there are a set number of that colour of blocks in that row or column. So say if it's like a blue 5, that means there are 5 connected blue blocks in that aisle. Okay.
This game's definitely not designed for podcasts, is it?
No, it's really not. I'm sure explaining. But really good mechanics, and it's just the perfect thing to like play if you're just like watching a movie or.
Does it take long to do a puzzle?
It depends on the puzzle. It depends on the puzzle, because sometimes it can be like just really easy, you just fly through it. But other times it could take like a good while. Like I believe the Meta Knight amiibo, because you could use some amiibo to unlock certain puzzles.
Okay.
The Meta Knight one took me like about just under half an hour.
Whoa.
But that's when I was playing it like early on. If I was to play it again now, I may be able to beat that record, but I'm not too sure.
You know how many amiibo can be used?
There's only 10, and 6 of them are Mario.
Okay.
So it's compatible with Mario, Luigi, Peach, Yoshi, Toad, and Bowser.
Yeah.
That's 6. Yeah, but it's only those 6 of Mario lines, and then the other 4 I've taken up by...
Meta Knight?
Pardon?
You say Meta Knight?
So the other 4 are taken up by Kirby, King Diddy, and Meta Knight, and then also Link.
Okay.
They are quite nice puzzles, but it's just a shame that, like, they didn't add more, like, Rosalina or Villager... or any others.
Well, at least they've used them, though. It's not used to the 3DS.
But I think it's like a definitely good use. It's just a shame that it just has such like a limit. It's just that limit. It's just saddening. But oh well. But yeah, that's all I've been playing.
Yay, that's all we've all been playing.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's quite a bit there, wasn't there?
Quite a bit. Alright, and I think that wraps it up for this section, so let's move on to the next section. Here we go! Alright, so this is our big Switch discussion, where we switch things up. One thing we know about it, you switch it on, you switch it off, to quote Sam. because
you've got to turn it on somewhere, haven't you?
Well, yeah, and then you could also switch it off.
It's all in the name. It's all in the name.
No, but we just seeing as it's the eve of the big day, I thought it'd be quite appropriate that we just run through all the stuff that will likely be coming. I have put down some games here, not really features, but just some games I put down, and then we'll just talk about anything else to do with the Switch in general, be it predictions or not. Hopefully we up around about the same time, I'm not sure, but definitely check out Nintendo Prime, because I am doing 25 Nintendo Switch predictions.
25?
25, because I'm going to have a bingo card, so it's only one more. So,
okay.
There we are. So yeah, I'll be doing 25 Nintendo Switch predictions over on Nintendo Prime, so I'll be using some of those ideas, but let's just start with what I have on here. So, as I mentioned earlier on, as breaking news, Shovel Knight will be coming to Nintendo Switch.
Yay!
So, I did read into some of this. Let me just get this back again, but it's kind of weird, because like now the whole thing has been, hold on, damn it, right. So, with the update, they also revealed that there'll now be a body swap mode, so, and it came with a picture showing Shovel Knight's face, which is nice. And then it will launch simultaneously with Spectre of Torment, which is the campaign for the Spectre Knight mode. It also mentioned that co-op will be coming to all consoles apart from 3DS and PS Vita. But the interesting thing here is that it will now be coming... Shovel Knight will now be renamed to Shovel Knight Treasure Trove. So this is like... From what I'm getting at, this is like the main hub where you could purchase the paths. Different paths from. So the original game is now being called Shovel Knight Shovel of Hope. That's the original story starring Shovel Knight. Then you've got Plague of Shadows, and then now you've got the Spectre of Torment. I think what it is, and then you've got King Knight's campaign later on in the year, as well as Battle Mode. But I believe with the Treasure Trove, you buy one path and then you get all the others free, I believe. I'm not too sure. But there is no... there is an impossibility to carry over from the Wii U over to the Switch. You have to buy it again. Hopefully it doesn't mean that you have to buy the paths separately.
I doubt that.
Hopefully not. But considering how much effort they've put into this, then it's like, I guess I wouldn't mind paying for Spectre of Torment, but I'm not too sure. But nevertheless, it's very exciting to see Shovel Knight coming to the Switch, because it's just such a big name in the indie scene. So certainly strong just to be like, oh, by the way, we're coming to Nintendo Switch. I think that's really promising. But then again, Yacht Club games are always on good terms with Nintendo, so... Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm happy. I'm really looking forward to that, definitely.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the new modes. It'd be pretty cool. Yeah.
Alright, so the next thing I put on this list... These are not in no order whatsoever, but these are just like as they came. GameCube Virtual Console, this is a rumour came from Eurogamer, I believe.
Anything specific?
The Eurogamer article mentioned that the first three games would be Luigi's Mansion, Mario Sunshine, and Smash Bros. Melee. Which I think is a good, solid pick of three, and then apparently they're working on Animal Crossing. So, especially because, like, if the GameCube Virtual Console would be very good to just, like, help round out everything, all the Virtual Consoles.
It puts some games on the Switch straight away, if there isn't a much definitely. In terms of the launch.
And especially as, like, someone who... My first console experience was actually the Xbox, and the original one, so I didn't have the GameCube. So especially...
You missed out.
Yeah, I know. So just being able to just try Mario Sunshine finally, or Melee, or one that has been played.
Have you played the original Luigi's Mansion?
No, I haven't. So that as well.
I highly recommend it.
A Thousand Year Door as well. Paper Mario, A Thousand
yes,
Year Door.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah, that is one of my favourites.
Kirby Air Ride. Yeah, I just really want to see what the Game Gear has to offer. And it certainly seems like it does have a lot.
I would like to have Rogue Squadron 2 or Rogue Leader. Okay. That's just unlikely, as EA now own rights. Mm. So, you know.
Well, who knows? We may be getting that. That would be quite nice, because I believe they got Donkey Kong 64 on the Wii U virtual console, so we may see it, I'm not sure.
And Super Mario 64, and...
I really want, them to be added as well, and I think I've seen this a lot. Just, I wouldn't mind if you just have to pay, an extra, just a little tiny fee.
How much do you reckon, though?
Because it's around about, £1 to £2 to get the N64 games bumped up. But what I would prefer is, say, NES and SNES games to get ported over to the Switch. That's free.
I mean, but would that include the original Wind Waker and Twilight Princess versions? But we've just had the HD ones
I'm not
on
sure.
Wii U.
Well,
that's the
because we haven't had them on virtual console, I think. So say if you have a Wii U and 3DS, because, if you wanted to play Super Mario World on both of them, you had to pay them on both consoles. There's no cross-compatibility or anything like that. I think that's what I'm hoping Nintendo gets sorted out. Or at very least, do something similar to what they did with the N64 program from the Wii to the Wii U. Mm. I would prefer it if it was a lesser fee. I think with NES and SNES, I would prefer it just to be free. And say
the likelihood of that happening is pretty slim.
Yeah, but but it would be nice because I don't want to because I might want to experience games again, especially on a new console. But I don't want to have to pay another $10 just to get Paper Mario again. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so. But the other thing Eurogamer mentioned is that the people working on it is NERD, the Nintendo of Europe Research and Development. I believe that's what it stands for. But the
is
important
the
thing is that
same team that was involved in Splatoon.
No,
or
am
I thinking
that's the EAD.
That's the Japanese one, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah,
Nintendo
yeah.
EAD. What NERD were responsible for, however, was the NES Classic Mini released last year.
Oh,
and apparently it's been said that they did that the NES Mini is just really good for emulation. It's a far better emulator than the Wii U Virtual Console. Games didn't look washed out, there were multiple choices, etc, etc. So, hopefully, and I think I've seen a lot of people say that the Wii U Virtual Console is kind of trash. So, maybe with the Switch one, they up-res it almost. I think that will be quite exciting to see.
It was nice the fact you could play it on the pad and that, and in some cases. But yeah, it's not the best.
No, not the best. All right, but the other virtual console game that will be coming to the Switch is Mother 3. Finally, fans can stop begging.
Have they actually translated it?
This is just another rumor, so don't get your hopes up.
Okay.
Not if the rumor was true, though.
Yeah, but
I think it's more. I think we're getting closer to that being likely now.
But this will. I don't think this will take on the fan translation. I think this is a wholly original translation from the Nintendo Treehouse. Because I think that was the case with the original Mother, where that was completely translated from, not from fan translations, just their own translations, but just also that. But it's going to be weird naming it. I'm thinking Earthbound 2 may be the best. Because it went chronologically, it's Earthbound Beginnings, Earthbound, and then I think Earthbound 2 makes the most sense. But
yeah, but then it's the naming's always been weird because of the numbers and things anyway. Yeah. But I don't see it being called Mother, to be honest. It's a weird one.
it would be weird. But anyway, moving on. Zelda Breath of the Wild. That's a given.
Yeah.
Yep. It's the Gibson given.
Gibson given. Yeah.
But the question is, will this be a launch title?
Yes. 110% yes.
I hope so.
There's nothing else to go with it at the moment. It's got
but like with some of the things that have been hinted at, it's like, please don't.
They can't delay it any further. It's like, not going to happen.
Like, the Wii came out with bloody Twilight Princess, so, like, come on. Like, bring it out with Breath of the Wild.
Like, even by, like, rumour sounds, like, Laura Kate Dale and I believe Liam Robinson as well, it's apparently, like, a bit of a mix of what their sources have been telling them on the release. But the main idea is that America and Japan, they'll be getting their Zelda at their launch. But over here in Europe, we will not be getting our Zelda at launch.
I can't believe it, to be honest. I don't think it's true.
You've got to have a strong launch title, and I think that Zelda's going to be that one.
They've delayed it up until this point, so I think that probably is going to be a launch title,
but
I reckon.
We'll get into this later, but I think because of like all the marketing materials they've seen, they can't just say, it's not going to be a launch title. I think they're just like miss a great opportunity. But then again, as a big Zelda fan, I would prefer this to be the best ever because it's certainly seeming that way. So if they could just get like to be the best it could possibly be, then I'd be happy. And I think, in some regards, I think the 3D Mario may make a better launch title.
I don't think it'll be ready for launch, though, because they've said this already.
There's been more on Breath of the Wild than there has of the Mario game.
But they haven't said anything on the 3D Mario, though.
That's what I mean.
Well, Miyamoto's mentioned it a few times that it won't be ready for launch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But this is Miyamoto, and they might have been motored since E3 to say, look, we can get this out of this
Miyamoto'd?
Time. Miyamoto'd.
Oh,
there we go.
No.
Yeah.
You moan at my puns, but you're like, look.
No, but this was like actually a smart pun, see? Like,
yeah. You wish.
Karen Jack.
Learn from the master.
Oh, God. Wow. I mean, I'm quite looking forward to the 3D Mario. It looked a good upgrade.
I don't think it's an upgrade. I think we may be seeing something more along the lines of the traditional 3D Mario found
in
64 and Sunshine.
There wasn't any, you weren't holding a pack or anything. There's no water thing on you, so that was a good start. He hasn't shown him in a costume, from a cat costume or anything like that. So hopefully it's more focused on the 64 gameplay, possibly.
Hopefully, that'd be quite nice. I think that's what fans... Because even though 3D World was just fantastic in all regards, I would prefer more
Galaxy,
traditional.
Though, if it goes more of a Galaxy sort of style, I'd be happy with that.
Oh yeah, I would be happy with that as well. But I think judging by the brief gameplay we saw in the reveal trailer, I think it is going to be more akin to Sunshine of 64.
If it's sort of the Sunshine, the actual mini levels within the game without Flood and things like that, I'd be more than happy with that because they were really good and really challenging. But I think that's what Galaxy went more onto, but used a bit more of the gravity controls and
all the planets and stuff, just by seeing the environment from the Switch trailer.
Maybe if they can take that and put it onto the ground floor level and see what they can build from there, it could be an interesting sort of outcome. But
possibly.
Yeah.
But yeah,
honestly, I don't see it being a launch.
But I think, I really hope 3D Mario, the 3D Mario is the launch title. Because it's Mario at launch, you can't get any better than that. Like it or not, Mario is just such a bigger name than Zelda.
He's been at every launch apart from GameCube, where we had Luigi's Mansion instead.
I don't believe.
What was on the Wii?
I don't think Mario was at the launch of the Wii.
Because we had Twilight Princess then, didn't we?
And then Mario wasn't available on Wii launch.
But I wouldn't mind it if there was 3D Mario and then we wait a little bit for Breath of the Wild. I think that'll be not necessarily better, but I wouldn't mind if that's the case. But the other thing about Zelda that has me curious is that, it's been said that this may be a region 3 console. So European fans could just easily import from the US.
Yeah. That'd be expensive, but yeah.
Oh well. The other one is a rumored title, but it has seemed to gain a lot of attraction, is the Mario Cross Rabbids RPG.
Oh god. No.
If Ubisoft are handling it, it could be a launch title.
I really, this is one game I do not want to see.
I'm not going to say no to it because it makes sure Paper Mario actually does carry on, but I'm not so sure it will be to everyone's taste. I can agree, but
I don't think so. But
if it's a fun title with a few mini games here and there and things, I don't mind it so much.
I think what it is that I think I've heard or at least seen that's more akin to strategy RPG.
Rabbids aren't for that sort of thing, are they, really? They're for little mini game party games sort of things.
It's a weird choice. Yeah. I would have preferred Rayman Cross.
But sometimes weird choices work, so we'll see. Maybe it'll be a
good point.
Interesting one.
Okay, we also have the Mario Kart port. Mario Kart 8.5 or whatever.
I've seen so many cheaty, rubbish rumours about this, and no one knows anything, and they're suspecting it to just be a straight port from 8.
The problem is, people start making up garbage and creating false things. It just swamps the internet with so much rubbish. You don't know what's real false. And I think someone made a thing with, what was it, with the proper battle and stuff like that, and they put something on
Battle Mario Kart. Wanted big time.
Yeah.
I think it was a Eurogamer report, if not Laura Kate Dale, but they said that there will be new maps, there will be new characters, but there will be a proper battle mode as well. Do you think that is likely that we will be seeing a new battle mode for this improved version of Mario Kart 8?
I hope so, but Mario Kart's going to be on it eventually. I don't know whether it'll be at the start, the end, or the middle, but it will be on.
Actually, guaranteed. I think that'll do wonders, being at the start, because no matter what, that's always seems to be the one that even just the non-Nintendo people will want to play. Because it's Mario Kart. Simple to understand, everyone has a good laugh at it. So if that's at launch, or within the launch window, that could be just massive for Nintendo, I feel like. Speaking of other massive hits, I think Splatoon could do quite well within the launch period. But
they've shown something off already, haven't they? So
with these Switch reveal trailer, but I think this is going to be a sequel rather than a port.
Yeah.
I think just the fact that you bring in this new console, I don't think a port of the first in a new IP will justify it. I think bringing in a sequel to this already established IP, it'll be just under 2 years old by the time Switch launches, which is a weird thought, but just launching a sequel already, I think that would just be this is just so cool, so fresh, if you pardon the pun. So I think it would be much better to have it as a Switch rather than it would be better to have it as a sequel rather than a port.
I would agree.
I think you're right, to be honest, Matt. I think a sequel would be a lot better for the game itself to sort of give that a bit extra depth and development going forward.
Because we have seen more rumours of other Wii U ports as well, namely Smash, which I want to get into in a bit, but the other I could do a quick mention to is towards Xenoblade.
Smash is a weird one because of these extra amiibos and things that should be out now, in theory.
They should have been out ages ago, but they're not. The last Smash were back in March of last year.
Fire Emblem, dude.
Yeah, our boy Roy. And his friend Ryu. No, but...
And the other Fire Emblem one. The grey hair.
Oh, Corrin. You mean white
hair. Corrin, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, that thing.
His amiibo hasn't been released yet.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
I know, we need him. But we need him, Cloud, and Bayonetta.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want my Bayo amiibo.
I want my Cloud one.
I want all of them.
Trouble
night. But yeah, so like, going back to my original point, I think those would do great as ports, but like, Splatoon, I just think it'll be underwhelming seeing that much of a new RP, especially how much of a hit it was, just to see, oh, we're just porting this over. I'd love to see it just like, as a better, as a sequel, rather than a port, that's all. I don't mind it with all the other games, even like Mario Kart 8 and Smash, because like, those are kind of like, trickier to develop, especially Smash. But Splatoon, I would just love that to just be the sequel, and that'll be it.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that.
But yeah, so
definitely.
So with Smash,
I think that one is probably more likely to be the port of any of the like previous ones, like Mario Kart and Splatoon. I think the Smash one's the most likely to be ported, but maybe with a few extra features added to it.
I think right. So there'll be at least two characters added. I think one for sure is Ice Climbers. Because they were working in the Wii U version, but due to limitations on the 3DS, they were cut. So, I think Ice Climbers will be making a return in Smash for Switch. Hopefully in things as well, especially to time with Splatoon, how popular it is, that'll be really cool to see. But the general idea, this isn't a rumour, but like this is just like an idea people have, is just... This new port will bring in all the content from the 3DS version and the Wii U versions together. And I think I would love that because that's just like, there are just amazing stages in the 3DS version, like Spirit Train, Lumia City. There are other ones in there as well. The 3D Land stage, Gerudo Valley. You know, there are like a lot of really cool stages in the 3DS version, but they're not, but you can't play them like, in high definition. The Wii console, so it'll be nice to see if they got carried over to Smash for Switch. That would be really neat.
We'll see.
but yeah, there's one here called Constructor.
Yeah, this was a weird one, sorry. Constructor was a game which was originally out in 1997, of all things.
Oh, okay.
It was originally for PC and it was on PlayStation, all things. It was so old. They're making a HD remaster of it. It was a 20-year-old like remaster of it. It's basically like a weird strategy game where you've got to build buildings, put people in it, but it's also against other players. So you've got to sort of kill off their buildings while building your own and things like that. It's really weird. It's a tactical sort of developer. It's the best way to describe it. But they announced yesterday that they'll be making a Switch version. They've already confirmed it and it's already been worked on. So at least we've got one extra game confirmed for the Switch. So, yay! It's really weird that it's a 20-year-old game that they're going to put onto, you know... a device like this, but let them do it. Ukulele is out in March to all the other consoles. When do you think it'll be out for the Switch?
Hopefully along with the other consoles, that'd be quite neat, but depending on like how they said they were working with Nintendo when they issued that update in December of last year. They said that they were working with Nintendo to get it working on the Switch. So I'm not sure if it'll be ready in time with the other consoles. I'm not too sure.
I don't believe it will be either. But hopefully it's not too much of a wait after that release date of March. But because I think a lot of people really wanted to see basically Banjo-Kazooie come back to a Nintendo console.
Yeah, that'd be really neat, yeah. Especially like how large of a user base I'd say... of Ukulele are Nintendo fans, I'd argue.
Yeah, definitely.
True.
But I think that could harm it could harm them if they don't have it at the same time as all the other consoles.
I'm not sure, because it is an indie game, and I think if they issue it right, then it's like, okay, I could just wait this long for Yooka-Laylee. But if it's too long, then people may just like, oh, I'll just get the PS4 or Xbox One versions.
Well, I'm the same sort of boat, though. I might just get the Xbox version if it's out before it, because I really want to play this game. But, you know, I think to have that game on the go would be pretty cool, I guess.
Well, to have any game on the go would be neat.
Well, yeah, definitely. I'm a little bit worried about it now.
I guess so.
Whether it'll work properly.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. And finally, the last one, Monster Hunter.
Yeah, there's been lots and lots of rumours of a Monster Hunter game being released for the Switch. I've seen lots of things floating about at the moment.
It could work.
Nothing's been confirmed.
Yeah.
Cross 2, also known as Generations 2, basically in development and should be released in Japan very soon.
They said it was around about March, didn't they?
Yeah. Will they be releasing this, firstly, to the Western states? And secondly, where will it go? Will it go to the Switch?
Will it
as a last game for the 3DS? Or, you know, it's a weird one. But I have seen lots and lots of people saying, we want Monster Hunter back on the TV again. If they can get online working as well as it does on the 3DS with the game on Switch, I think Monster Hunter is a big seller. And they really need it on the console. What do you think? Do you think it's going to be there or thereabouts? Or
I think it would do really well, because I think it has proved to be a really popular game for Nintendo systems, namely the 3DS.
Definitely.
So I think Colin was saying this as well, it's just that with Monster Hunter being on the home console, you get like the high definition goodness on Monster Hunter, as it were. And especially because Generations, I think it does look pretty cool on the 3DS. So seeing that in HD would be quite neat. But then you've also got the portability, which I think would be really handy. Because I think it lends itself
If you still do the same features as going out and playing with four people or more while on portable, that'd be great. Yeah. If you can do the same at home, even if it's just single player at home, that's fine. But, you know, if we can work out this online system and get it working as well as it does, I think it will be a big hit. Especially if you can get the monsters in Monster Hunter in a HD sort of format. I think that's how can you not kind of thing. But if it's a more of a cost cutting thing to get them on the 3DS, I mean, it probably would be cheaper to model them on a 3DS than it would be to do it on a HD format. Would that harm the chance of it coming to the Switch? That's the only thing I can sort of. It's a weird one.
It's tricky.
You understand what I'm saying, though? It's like, they've only got a limited team at Capcom that work on Monster Hunter.
Oh, really?
Alright. Not a very big section, to be fair. It's really weird.
Fair enough.
But, because a lot of their focus is normally on, like, Street Fighter and things like that, but it's like, oh, I wish they put more effort into Monster Hunter. Sometimes I just think it's like, why was this not on the Wii U originally though? That's like Generations and things. It's like, it's crazy.
I think they're trying to like continue on with the success of like what Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate had on the 3DS and just continue it for that platform.
I just think it's the fact they can get it out quicker on the 3DS.
No, it's the fact that like 3DS has actually sold units.
Yeah, true.
Sorry, Wii U.
I think it needs to have it on the Switch, otherwise we could lose Monster Hunter to like PS4 or Xbox, I think.
Ooh, that'd be harsh. That'd be a big blow, I feel like. Alright, so I have some other predictions that I'll be using in my predictions. There are some more that I wanted to do, but I don't know why, I've just run out of space. But I think more will be coming. Alright, so I might substitute in Skyrim for Pikmin. I think that'll make a lot more sense having Pikmin 4 there.
Say that's probably a strong one to go with.
This isn't really a prediction, but this is just like more like joke. The indie/third-party reels.
Yep.
The bits where you dread how long they're going to go on for, so you don't have any more time wasted. Which is a terrible way of putting it, because like there are just like really awesome indie games out there, and I'm sure there'll be really awesome third-party games out there, but it's just like the reels are just like the worst part of any Direct. Well, not really, to be fair, but it's just like, just give me new info on your games. But that would have included, like, Shovel Knight, but now we know that's a thing, so that's not really a prediction. I would have loved it if that was, like, the actual thing announced during the actual event. That would be massive, I feel like. This is a bit more hopeful, but it's Inazuma 11 Ars, which is the new Inazuma 11 game coming from Level 5. It's, like, the third trilogy. But when they first announced it, they didn't specify it was coming from 3DS. They didn't even specify what device it was going to be playable on. So hopefully, I'm not sure if we will be seeing it in this Direct, but hopefully it will be coming to the Switch. That'd be really neat to see. I don't think it'll be the same with Layton, because I think Layton lends itself well to dual-screen gameplay.
Yeah.
Alright, let's see what else here. Danganronpa, that's more hopeful as well. Get it, hope, because that's a big thing in Danganronpa. That's more hopeful. I think it will stay with Sony, and in a way I'm happy, because it gives me more reason to have bought a PS4. And I would have said Persona 5 somewhere on this list, but Persona 5 has been confirmed not to be coming to Switch. It's only out for PS3 and PS4. Final Fantasy 15, I think we can see that, because I believe it was announced fairly recently, maybe even today, but it has sold over 6 million copies, which I think is pretty good for JRPG.
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, and given the relationship between Square and Nintendo right now, I think Final Fantasy does have a good chance of being on the Nintendo console, I feel like, especially because Final Fantasy was also on the Xbox One, so who knows? Right, let's see here. Overwatch, I think that'd be quite likely. I've had an absolute blast playing that game, so I would probably purchase it again sometime down the line of the Switch, but I think it would do great. Well, just like getting more people onto it, because it sold over 20 million copies. So I would love to see it on the Switch, but who knows. GameCube PC, we talked about that, as well as Mother 3. New Xenoblade, because the wife of one of the developers at Monolith Soft retweeted the Switch event, so people were like, oh, Monolith Soft are going to be doing something at the Switch event. But I think it would be nice to see, like, a new Xenoblade game, if not a Xenoblade-esque game. Because I think that's how Xenoblade Chronicles X was first shown off as Project X. We had just mechs added in with the Xenoblade Chronicles gameplay. So whether that's X2 or a completely new Xenoblade Chronicles game, I think we will definitely be seeing something from Monolith Soft. Mario Rabbids Fire Emblem, we may see it. I'm becoming a bit more hesitant on that, though.
Cancel.
I don't know why. Shut up, Jack. Where's your advance wars? Oh, wait, it's dead. No, I can't say it because I've never played
Advance
Wars.
Comes back on the Switch.
To be fair, I've never played an Advance Wars, and if I do play it, I will probably like it. So I really can't talk shit. But if I am, apparently Koei Tecmo is working on yet another Warriors style game using Nintendo IP similar to Hyrule Warriors. It's not going to be Zelda, because that was already done, and it's not going to be Star Fox, because they pitched that before, but Nintendo denied. So I think the obvious choice would probably be Fire Emblem. But I don't think it'll be ready at the presentation, that's all. I'm not too sure. What else do we have? The shareability. Something the shareability will allow you to share pictures or maybe even videos to Miiverse, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. That's what I think.
Twitch.
Twitch and YouTube. I think that'd be really good. Get with the times.
You can do it with all the other consoles.
So I think not? I think Nintendo need that. That's a staple. I feel like for Nintendo to do, just to get like more of the time, so people couldn't. Even though I honor Nintendo's like focus on providing fun games, I think they definitely need to get with the times. Just like modern gaming as well, it's just becoming so much more big. If they don't follow, if they don't get with that, then they'll just be left behind. People won't see. I don't think a lot of people will have respect for them, which is not the best way of putting it. But I think people will
not
see
when
it.
Just releasing a new console.
But like people will just see it and it's like, oh, they don't even have this feature or anything like that. I fear that's what people will think. So I think just adding.
As you go on to that. I've just been looking through this, apparent accessories leak.
Yeah, we need to get onto that. I forgot about that.
Oh dear.
But go on.
Yeah, well, we're just looking through the pictures of it, because there's 24 pictures that have been basically shared online. Mm-hmm. It's for Hori Accessories, which is basically making these accessories for Nintendo.
And they're officially licensed. They're officially licensed, so.
Officially licensed by Nintendo, and apparently they've been confirmed.
They have been apparently confirmed, and I think they
actually working for them. So there's one very interesting one though. Picture 10 is a stick arcade.
Yeah, it's a fighting stick
attachment.
Mm.
So, what?
I don't know.
Is there going to be some fighting games coming to the Switch?
Hopefully it be Street Fighter, but well, I think the Pokken, that separate controller worked much better. But
That would work really well, actually. Mm. The Pokken. Interesting.
Interesting.
There was in-car charger as well.
Yeah, and I think that's really good to have.
But you don't drive, Matt.
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I passed my driving test 16th of December.
Oh. Do you have a car?
I don't have a car. That's the only trouble.
Ah.
But like, if I was to be a passenger, especially on a long journey, stuck in traffic, I think that'd be useful to have. Because I think that's a
I'm
really
I'm getting a Switch so I can have the car charger.
You could drive, I can play.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does seem there's mainly just charges and things like that. And
yeah.
I think it shows the weird one it showed was the attachments on the actual controller that go onto the side of the central display. They come off and you put them onto a separate charge themselves.
Yeah.
Which is very peculiar. Yeah. I thought you'd be able to charge the whole console on its own with the controllers attached.
Mm.
Apparently, maybe they're separate batteries in them as well.
Maybe it could be like they'll be charged like alright if. Well, I hope they don't. It doesn't mean that they're chargeable. That would suck. But
it would make sense to the fact that we can take them off separately, and one person play on one, and one person play on the other.
Yeah.
Surely that would make a bit more sense, actually, I say that out. What do you think of the design for the extra pads and things as well? There's a
very sleek. I really like it.
Yeah. What I can only describe as an Xbox controller with slightly longer bottoms.
I'm just having like a quick glance for all of these, and it's just like they seem really professional.
Yeah, I think they've been confirmed, so apparently they're truth in it, but not confirmed by Nintendo though, so or confirmed that they even work. But I mean, a lot of the stuff that's been shown off are just like sets from Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, and it's like little stickers and things you can put on the console, which is, don't get me wrong, they are pretty cool, but you know, that's not really massively amazing.
But the thing is like, apparently these will all be launch accessories, which I think is really key.
Which normally Nintendo do a lot of accessories for their consoles, and that's where they make the sales in terms of like first day purchases and things. So well, it's not really surprising, really. But
no, but I think this is certainly like an interesting point to consider.
Very interesting.
Interesting indeed.
So what other accessories would the console need, though?
I think I would just prefer, like, at least, like, a USB charger for the Switch. It's great, we can have a car adapter, but, like, what if, like, you know, you're somewhere else? You don't want to have to bring in the dock. Yeah, but, like,
It's a good idea.
But, like, what if you're, like, at work or something like that? You don't want to bring in the whole dock.
No, you just want the console, don't you?
That suitcase thing, though, isn't there? And I think that would come quite in handy, like, if you're going on holiday or something, but if you're, like, just going out, like, for school or whatever, and you want to, like, charge it in between, then I think a USB charger or at least some sort of portable charger would be
I would never suggest taking this console to school, Matt. What do you mean? You know, you want to skive off lessons.
Well, like during three periods and stuff, like God, or two period. But I probably won't because I'll get the piss taken out.
I was gonna say, you get that confiscated, then you've got pretty much an unusable console.
Oh yeah, that's a nightmare, yeah.
Yeah. Right. And then there's the other predictions I have is an amiibo centric game. So I think hopefully Nintendo will bring Spark back into amiibo. Because even though they have done really cool things before,
they seem to go really quick with it. These games you can play them with.
They get it like so right and so wrong sometimes. Like the Zelda 30th anniversary amiibo, like
They look really
good. Pretty cool, yeah. But they do like hardly anything. Yeah, like they give you bonuses in Breath of the Wild, but so far that's all we know.
I mean. The Wolf Link amiibo,
that's great.
Is still,
That's
will it?
Wicked.
How will it work going from one console to another? Will it still have the same data attached?
Well, yeah, because
to it?
Like, yeah, I think the amiibo because you could do that between the Wii U and 3DS. You could do that between the Wii U and 3DS as well. So,
oh, true, very true. Yeah. Interesting.
I was going to say Pokemon, but I think it's more precise to say Pokken. I think they're going to save... If Pokemon Stars is a thing, I think they're going to save that until E3. That's what I think. So I think Pokemon might likely make more sense, especially to have the DLC fighters. I don't think there's a chance in hell they're coming to the Wii U version. Just a couple more here. I think it'll be Region 3. I think Metroid Prime 4 will be a thing. I'm not sure.
I'd like to say it.
I would like to say it just because people could just be like really happy, and I want them to be happy because they seem really salty about Federation Force. So just like as a win for the fans, I would like Metroid Prime 4.
The only thing that was good about Federation Force was Blast Ball, and they gave that for free anyway.
Yeah. Well, here in the UK, at least.
You're gone now,
aren't
you? Yeah, sorry. You're gone. You lost all your marbles.
I think it being a bit too loud.
So, Friday they're going to do this whole thing, whole presentation, all this stuff's going to come out, and you're going to be exactly right with all your points.
No, I will not. Because I think in some cases, if they're not revealed here, then they'll be later revealed down the line. That's what I think. It's hard to predict, because like this isn't necessarily a direct. This is more like a presentation.
Yeah.
Because it's broadcast live in Japan with English overlay. That doesn't make sense. I mean, like, an English-speaking person will be speaking over Mr. Kimishima. That's what I mean. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's certainly going to be interesting.
Live dubbing.
Yeah, live dubbing, I think. Or at least pre-recorded, I'm not too sure. I think
it's going to be presented live, so I don't...
Yeah, I think it's going to be presented live.
So there might be like game reels and demo reels they might show off, like, which have been pre-recorded, possibly.
Yeah, but, those stuff will be pre-recorded, I think, because I think...
It really depends what they're showing, though. Mm. That's the thing. If they're just going to show off the game, a few of the games and the console and what you can do, then maybe you won't see as much in the actual reels, but that might come in the future anyway in directs and things, so...
But hopefully he doesn't, like, go to hell because it's Friday the 13th.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it?
No,
but only for us.
Superstitious nonsense. Whereas, no.
Whereas it won't be for America? Will it? I don't know. Oh, God, time zones. Who knows? Oh, my God.
Who knows?
So we're going Saturday.
That's the other thing.
Yay!
This fantastic event in London.
All three of us will be there, so if you are going as well, then make sure just to say hi, or if you have any questions, just reach out to us.
Lewis will be there as well from Nintendo Voice.
Yeah, and Ian.
Oh, Lewis is coming as well, is he? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and, Lewis is going.
Yeah, and Ian as well from Pokemon Voice. Other people are going as well.
There's loads of people going.
Hmm.
In terms of street pass groups and things
like that.
I know as a member of Street Pass Southampton, we got 10 tickets to give away, and we've given them all away now. So
that's pretty.
So
cool.
I don't know if every street pass group has been given that many tickets, but if that's so, that's a lot of people going. So you know, that's just our lot, not including all everyone else has been invited. It's gonna be a big old event.
It's going to be, definitely.
So
they've got enough Switch consoles to let people play.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I can't believe it's like on Saturday. That's really exciting.
This whole week's been going so slow, though. It's been kind of going quick.
Like I felt that way on Monday, but like now tomorrow's going to go in a flash, and then we'll be out Friday. And it's like, oh, God, I can't believe it. It's a weird thought. Because I feel like it was just like only a short while ago, they were like, oh, if you want more info, tune in on Jan 12th. That was like back in early November. I'm like, oh God, that's ages away though. We want the info now.
While I think about it, Matt, what time have you got your slot in for the event?
It should be 9 to 1 for everyone.
Yeah, I got it from the morning session.
Good. That's what I'd hear. Because I heard that some DS London and some of their like, London-based groups were getting the afternoon.
Oh, right.
I don't know if that's 100% right or not.
Yeah, I got mine from the morning session.
That's cool, because we'll definitely be there all day.
Everyone's going.
Yes.
Everyone that is going on Saturday is going for the morning session.
Sweet.
I can't wait. Oliver Jameson, I believe that's his name. I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. But he's from Source Gaming, and he's going on Sunday the afternoon.
Yeah, I think the Sunday's the afternoon slot.
But the thing is that, like, I managed to...
I think Alex is actually from Reading. I think he's going on Sunday. So, I don't know why Sunday, but yeah. Weird.
No, the thing is that, like, I managed to get a ticket from DS London, who are lovely people. Shout out to them. So I managed to get a ticket from them for the morning session, but then, I think it was like sometime last week, I just woke up and I won tickets to the Switch event. So it was two tickets, and I was going to be trying to get in for both sessions on Saturday, but the Saturday was all full. And I would have done Sunday, but I feel that would have been too much of a pain, so... I decided to give those two tickets to Lewis. So that's how he got in.
Oh, okay. That was very nice of you.
I thought sure he'll appreciate it. Yeah. He did. But yeah, like it's gonna be just great seeing him there as well. That'd be great, and just seeing like a lot of people.
I'm sure we'll try and record some. Well, depending on what they let us do in terms of recording things and taking photos.
Well, I think Sam, you said that you may be doing a vlog for your channel.
Yeah, I might do if I've got a voice and stuff still.
Hopefully,
I'm gonna try and do some Facebook Live videos if we can within the building. I'm sure we can all get involved in that and have a chat with some of our followers.
Hopefully. The few that we have.
A few that we have. But to be fair, I did that live video I did recently, it got like 99 views.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, wow, where do they all come from? So, so yeah, hopefully if we do a few more live videos and more people can tune in and catch them out. So hopefully enjoy them. Yeah, we'll try our best to do whatever we can, and you know, if we get some footage we can put on to YouTube channels or whatever, we'll do it, just so people who aren't going can still enjoy what happened there, and you know, as much as we do, and hopefully it's really good, and hopefully it's going to be amazing. Oh, I can't wait, I'm really excited!
Yeah, we all are. Alright, so that wraps up for our big Switch feature, so let's move on to the next section. Here we go. And this is our final section of episode 37. I'm just going to start off with the shout-outs here. I'm going to give a shout-out to Insane In The Rain Music. The guy makes just amazing jazz covers of video game music, but...
He does a good job.
Beautiful job, if I might add. But the most recent one was the Alola Region theme.
Yeah, I saw that. That looks
really
good.
Just like, oh, that was just amazing. As soon as I saw... That's the first time ever that as soon as I've seen that went live on iTunes, I was like, I've got to get this. As soon as I saw it, I was like, damn, I've got to get this. So I had to have it. So I have got it. And it's just great. It really is one of my favourite tracks of his. I believe that was... Yeah, that would have been the first of 2017. So I hope it paves the way for even more amazing tracks to come later on.
Yeah, he's got a lot of good stuff on his channel.
Oh, definitely. The Gladion Battle theme, a lot of stuff on there. Anyway, Jack, do you want to go next?
Yes, I can do. As briefly mentioned at the end of the last section, I've done a live Facebook video on our M Podcast System Facebook page. I just sort of went through like the 10 games that I really enjoyed playing from last year. Because I was going to do like a full list, like 10 to 1, and say, oh, this was my game of the year. And I just thought, I couldn't really decide. There was just so many... I was like, there was three at the top in like the two Pokemon games and like Paper Mario, but I just sort of thought I'd give a few mentions to some others. I mean, it's like the main one I was sort of like on the edge with anyway was Star Fox, because it was a big disappointment really, from what they were sort of trying to show off with it. But just the controls were awful, weren't they?
I got motion sickness. Yeah. From it all. I was like,
if you wanted to just like, you know, listen to a few things like that, like in terms of what I enjoyed, go and check the videos out. I'm hoping we can do a few more in the future. Now I've got the capabilities to do so via my laptop and things like that. Hopefully we can do a few more like live videos and get chatting with everyone and bit more interaction, hopefully, but we'll see how it goes. I also wanted to give a quick shout out to basically I got invited to do a podcast event in Southampton. They're doing it for Red Nose Day, I think it is. I'll just double check that one second.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so in March, end of March, 25th, 26th of this year, we are going to be attending this massive 36-hour live podcast event, and hopefully should be doing an hour's slot for them between me and Sam, for definite. And if Matt can get down here, maybe we can work something out as well, do all three of us. But if not, it's not a problem. We can sort of do it anyway. But it's all going to be for charity. We're all going to like support other podcasts and hopefully like promote a few other people and likewise promote ourselves through it. And apparently I've been told there will be a live audience there as well while we're podcasting. So I haven't really decided what we're going to do yet. I don't know if Sam's got any ideas yet. But
it's daunting knowing there's going to be a live audience.
Well, I don't think there'll be that many people in terms of live audience there. Yeah, but it depends. We might, maybe we should do one of the morning sessions and no one turns up. So, you know. But yeah, hopefully, if you can check it out at Southampton Superpod 2017 on Twitter and Facebook. Mm. If you are a podcast and you are interested in helping out, please get in touch with them. And they're looking for people to do slots for them. They will fill up fast though, because I mean, podcasting around the South Coast is really gone crazy at the moment. There's loads of people at the podcast, so yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. And like end of March, and all for fun, all bit of fun for charity. So maybe we can do some, like, I don't know, live commentating on games, or maybe talk about the Switch in that time if it should be released by then. So it should be fun. But yeah, shout out to them. Woohoo. Sam, do you have any shout outs?
Oh, my usual one, which is to Street Pass UK. So as always, I love to give a shout out to Street Pass UK, because it's all about community, getting together, meeting new people and playing some games. You could obviously always go and check out the official site at Street Pass UK, and just go meet people, go and have fun. Don't be afraid. It's all just good laugh, good fun, and it doesn't really cost much. So it's, you know, I'd say go check out and meet people in your local community.
Yay, Street Pass. And thanks, Street Pass teams, for letting us go to this event on Saturday.
Yeah.
Pre-thanks.
Pre-thanks.
We'll also give you an after-thanks in our next podcast. Where we can talk all about what happened.
Yes. Mm.
And then I will also give my opinion on the ridiculous poll.
What ridiculous poll?
Our Twitter page.
Jack, the only poll I could think of is the poll where people voted for the correct answer. I don't see any ridiculous poll.
Which was Fire Emblem versus Advance Wars, and everyone chose Fire Emblem because that's the only game they've all played.
To be honest,
like, they're all millennials. Advance Wars, don't know what Advance Wars is.
I'm sure you'll get your revenge, Jack.
I will.
I have a feeling.
My sweet, sweet revenge will be mine. Especially when I see him on Saturday.
Advance Wars put up a cute fight, if I may say so.
A cute fight. It was pretty close, actually.
Right, let's just end the episode. But thank you for all that did vote in that.
Yes.
Right.
And you can still find out to do it.
So, as for where you can find the pod, you can find us on, well, we're on YouTube, so please subscribe to us there.
Thank you for the subscribers.
Thank you.
We're over 50!
Yeah. Then, I'm drawing a blank here. Oh, well, I was on iTunes and
Podomatic.
That's it. That's the one. Podomatic. I knew that. I didn't need reminding. I knew that. So that's where you can find us. You, social media wise, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Just look for N Podcast System. Email is nintendopodcastsystem@gmail.com. Sorry for the long title. That was in the early days of the creation of the podcast. I should have renamed it to something simpler. I'm sorry. You could just email us a lot of things, be it questions or anything like that, but I think the best way to ask questions would be via social media, again, through our Twitter at npodcastsystem, or Facebook at N Podcast System. That's about it for us. I'm planning on doing so if I have the time, because I'm now using this fancy new thing called Canva, which I used for my thumbnails for the Switch thing just now. Not the Switch thing, the Game of the Year discussion I had recently with Sam and Lewis.
Go check it out!
Yeah, go check that out. Oh yeah, another shout out for that. But I am quite liking it, so what will probably happen is that I will try and make like a new logo or something for Nintendo Podcast System. I'm quite tired of our current one. Doesn't really scream unique, yeah. But then again, this one would just be like a shader thing.
So, new year, new
be
load.
On the lookout, hopefully. Be on the lookout, hopefully. I may be able to get something whipped up. So that's about where you can find the podcast, but Jack, where can people find you?
Just quickly, make sure you leave a review on iTunes and or on Facebook if you wish, because it really helps out the podcast to get up in the charts and maybe a few more people listen to us and things. So. Yep. Which we've had really good download like rates at the moment and plays on Podomatic. It's been really good. I really appreciate everyone who's been listening to us. But you can find me at Gorny7789 on Twitter, on Facebook, and YouTube as well. So go check those things out. I am slowly putting up some more videos of... I'm doing like a whole series of like Sonic games leading up to Sonic Mania. So please go check those out, and I will be uploading Sonic 2 very soon. So, yeah. Hope you enjoy those. I'll pass you on to the wonderful Sam.
You can find me on Twitter at SamSpade_UK, as well as at SamSpade Gaming on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. And I now pass you on to the lovely Matt Gibson.
So quickly. You can find me on Twitter at AceGibbo. In terms of like what I do, you can find my YouTube channel at AceGibbo. And I wrote for Fiji Tribune and Nintendo Prime. Be on the lookout for Nintendo Switch predictions. Should be up by this time. And that will be on Nintendo Prime. Fiji Tribune may be for Nintendo Switch recap thing. So, yeah.
I just thought of one quick thing before we go and finish it all. I wanted to give a shout out to Trodge, one of our main listeners. He is the king of memes. He keeps like sharing memes at me at the moment, and I'm like, where do you get these from? You are the king of memes. I shall call him king of memes from now on. Cool. I'm done.
All right. I'm off. So before we actually wrap it up, Sam, what will be closing us off? What music?
Well, as you know me, I love Shantae, so the ending music is called The Sky Bridge from Shantae Half Genie Hero.
Mhm. And you'll be listening to it round about now. I always say that, but it always takes a good amount before it actually comes in.
Now.
Yeah, now. Okay. So, thank you all for listening to... Nintendo Podcast System episode 37, the night before Switchmas, because that's a generic title and I couldn't think of anything else on the spot. Either that or Miyamoto'd, because I'm quite fond of that.
That's
one.
That's the next episode.
But yeah, so thank you all for listening yet again. This is episode, I hope you enjoyed, and happy gaming.
Happy gaming!
We're gonna play this win!